Welcome to this edition of Techonomics. A popular basketball tournament is underway. You may have seen some brackets around your workplace, actually. What do those brackets mean for a company's bottom line? A team at Google wondered that too, and host Jason Middleton had some questions around the tournament. Techonomics starts now on KGO 810.
Hi, and welcome back. It happens every year, whether we like it or not, right around now, the annual basketball tournament, which occurs in March. Now, the phrase you may have heard is trademarked, so I cannot utter it here. Kind of like saying the in the NFL. Anyway, basketball and brackets. They're like tea and honey, like Tesla and Elon Musk. Like Susan from accounting basing her bracket choices solely on the mascots and then winning the office pool again. Some of us like to do some research on the teams and not just fly blind into bracket season. Looking your way, Susan. We grabbed a Google Trends expert to help us discern just who is being searched for the most. Maybe there's a trend evolving there. I mean, we always hear about how big data can solve just about anything, right? Here's my chat with the Google Trends expert.
Daniel Seberg, Google Trends expert.
A lot of basketball going on the TVs around the station here, my home, for instance, some other places as well. And we have you on because you're from Google and you look at the data around this kind of thing, these popularity contests. Daniel, what are you seeing when it comes to this? And I can't say it, so let's a bit of a basketball craziness that happens in the month of March.
Exactly. It does seem like the games are across all types of screens, whether it's a television,
true.
Computer, laptop, tablet, smartphone, you name it. And we know that people have a lot of search interest around, of course, the players, the teams. You know, for fans, they can't get as too many statistics. And if we look at the top, among the top searched teams in San Francisco and, in fact, all of California, perhaps not surprisingly, the UCLA are up there. Nationally, they are at number five.
Okay.
The Kentucky at number one, Michigan was followed by the UNCs and the Wisconsin. So they're definitely up there in terms of search interest.
For full disclosure, we're going to air this a little bit after the games happen in the 16 round. So if Daniel and I talk a little bit sideways, it's because we're just trying to give consolation to fans those teams may have lost earlier this week. So let's move to players, okay? So I think players' popularity seems to have a longer tail maybe than this tournament does. So what are some of the most searched players so far?
Yeah, and certainly it may not be surprising if Lonzo Ball continues to have the kind of tournament that he's been having and generates as much search interest as he's had. He is the most searched player nationally at this point, you know, as we head into the games over the weekend. He's followed by Josh Jackson from Kansas, Caleb Swanigan, Moritz Wagner from Michigan, and Nigel Hayes from Wisconsin. And of course, as you say, as the tournament evolves and some of these teams drop out, that could change. But it certainly seems like Lonzo Ball is getting a lot of attention as a freshman out of UCLA.
I bet Lonzo does pretty well in searches here because of his father saying that Lonzo is better than Steph Curry, who of course here plays for the Golden State Warriors in my market. So anyway,
That's right. His father, former football player, and you know, just, I think there's a lot of interest both with him on the court and sort of off the court as well, as you say.
Daniel, you're from Google, so I have to ask a couple of questions about voice technology because this race between certain companies doing voice activation and voice intelligence in the home seems to be kind of popping around a lot. And I, personal front page and full disclosure, I use Google Home at my house, and I'm still learning it, and I've only had it for a couple of months. Do you have any tips on using that when it comes to the tournament?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that you're still learning it. I think that, you know, that the technology itself is still learning. You know, we're refining how Google Home performs. It's powered by the Google Assistant technology, which you would find on a Pixel device as well. But, you know, in terms of how, you know, how to activate it for folks who don't know, if it's set up, it's triggered by something like Hey Google or OK Google. Until it hears that, it's sitting there not recording anything, but just waiting for that sort of trigger. Mm-hmm. And in terms of how to tap into it using it during the games, it could be everything from Hey Google, when is the next game? Okay Google, who is the coach for Kentucky men's basketball? Or Okay Google, how tall is Lonzo Ball? He's 6'6", by the way. But you know, you can think of lots of different sort of questions. It can be kind of your own personal color commentator, if you will. Lots of ways to become even more informed as a fan of all the games.
Okay, and it's interesting that you mentioned that it's not recording when it's in passive mode. That might be a differentiator from some of the others out there.
Yeah, and you can go in and change any of the settings, by the way, when it comes to information that may be stored, you know, during some of the queries that you do through My Activities. You can go in there and set all of that or delete anything that you want to take out of there. So it is customizable in terms of the privacy.
Okay, Daniel, let's go ahead and see what busted your brackets. Did you fill out a bracket this year?
While we're in the spirit of full disclosure, I did not have a bracket. Part of it is that I am a transplanted Canadian. So I do not pretend to be the world's foremost expert on who will come away with the title, but you know I follow it as a fan and love to see the intensity of the game.
So you're agnostic when it comes to the data around this basketball tournament. I think that just puts you a level above.
I'm a huge cheerleader. I'm a huge cheerleader for the University of Saskatchewan, which I think is going to clean up.
Maybe next year, Daniel. We'll see. Maybe next year. Daniel, thanks a lot for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
That was Daniel Seberg, Google Sports Trends expert. On Daniel's behalf, if we mentioned your team that did not make it out of the round of 16, we apologize. It's all in the name of science, after all, or at least data. As far as Lonzo Ball goes, his dad's antics are not trending yet. I predict that LaVar Ball needs to chill may eventually trend. To close out this edition of Techonomics, let's pivot from sports tech to regular tech. First, we'll take to the air, and then we'll speed along the ground. Virgin America Airlines will cease to be by 2019. That de-escalated pretty quickly, didn't it? It's only been 3 short months since Alaska Airlines' parent company completed the $2.6 billion acquisition of Virgin America. And you may have seen the advertisements about the California-based carrier's merger with Alaska Airlines, signs that read, "Guitars were not always electric either," things like that. Starting next year, Alaska Airlines will redesign its cabin to include new seats and, in some planes, Virgin America's distinctive blue lighting. With Alaska Airlines based in Seattle and Virgin America headquartered in Burlingame, the combined operation has a fleet of 286 planes, 19,000 employees, and will become the nation's 5th largest carrier. And there's plenty of news to go around right here on the ground as well, especially from Tesla. It's This Week in Elon Musk, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. There's a new land speed record for production model Tesla Model S's. According to the Tesla Racing Channel on YouTube, a slightly modified Model S has set a new record in the quarter mile with a whopping 10.44 seconds and 124.2 miles per hour. Now, this run is slightly different from the previous stock runs, though, as the car received a few modifications to achieve such a quick time. The team removed the liner from the front trunk, or frunk, as well as the floor mats. Now, where do you think they got the idea to do that? From Elon Musk, of course, via Twitter.
Now, although our car has had the record for the fastest 8th mile I've seen with the 669, it just wasn't at the quarter mile drag strip at the time, so we didn't know how that would run. But somebody yesterday or the other day ago ran a 10.6. And even a few months back, Elon tweeted about on his Twitter that if you can remove the frunk, you'll get a little bit more performance. So, of course we removed the frunk. It's got some weight reduction out of it. So we should be able to run easily a 10.6, but that's not what we're going for. We're going for the full 10.5 right now.
That's the host of the Tesla Racing Channel on YouTube. You can check him out. Pretty fun stuff. Now, here's a takeoff from inside the Tesla and then a quick cut to the stands of Darlington Speedway where they do their testing. At the end there, that's the PA announcer telling the crowd, "That's an electric car," like he just saw Bigfoot or something. Also in Tesla news, Elon Musk wanted to clarify something about the coming Model 3. The Tesla Model 3 is not just an iteration, like issuing a new iPhone. Musk wrote in a tweet that the 3 is a smaller, more affordable version of the Model S, just with less range, less power, and fewer features. Musk also reminded everyone that the Model 3 was supposed to be the Model E, because Tesla already has an S and an X. And as TechCrunch wrote this week, insert awkward dad/CEO joke here. Well, that's it for this segment of Techonomics. We appreciate you checking us out. You can get at us on the web at kgoradio.com/Techonomics or at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. My Twitter handle is at KGOJason. And we want to hear from you. If you have a story idea or a company you're starting or you really dig something you heard here, please let us know. Now, for producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton, and this has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.